Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. For today, we will continue with our series of fixed income conversations. Joining us today to provide some takeaways from the latest fixed income strategist publication, glad to welcome back Leslie Falconio, head of taxable fixed income strategy for the Americas, as well as John Murtaugh, fixed income analyst for the Americas, both from the UBS Chief Investment Office. So with that, Leslie, John, thank you both for dropping by today and for spending some time with our listeners and our clients. Welcome back.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Dan.
Absolutely. So it's interesting, the fixed income strategist for this month, it provides our readers, our listeners, with a review of the first half of 2024. So with that said, now that the first half is just about in the rear view, John, within the FIZ, you do spend some time reflecting on first half fixed income performance and the drivers of it. So how exactly, John, did we get to where we are today?
Sure. Thanks very much, Dan. And like you said, we cover this very much more in depth in the lead article of our fixed income strategist for this month. But really, the story of the first half was this significant repricing by the market of the Fed's rate cut expectations. And you saw that put upward pressure on Treasury yields after a big rally at the end of 2023. And then you had this coupled with a market that was also very sensitive to economic data, especially CPI. You actually see about 80% of the rise in 10-year yields this year has occurred within 3 days of CPI announcements. And that was really the market looking for any hint of what the Fed might do this year. And so this is why, you know, you've had four higher than expected CPI prints to start the year. You saw yields rise. But then there was this rally in May as May CPI came in better than expected. And then again, this past Friday, you had a jobs report that came in a little bit stronger. You saw a little bit of a rate sell-off. So just to emphasize this sensitivity that we've seen to economic data. So the dynamic has really just been a market that is searching for any sense of when rate cuts might begin. And until then, reacting to what information they do receive that might give them that answer. We've also seen risk assets suffer as a result of this because of this volatility to start the year. But again, since May, we've seen some positive performance, as rates have fallen. And we think that's going to give us a little bit of a taste of what to expect in the second half. You know, in our view, we still see rates trending lower into the end of this year.
So with that, Leslie, as John just explained how we got to where we are today, as we now look ahead, what kinds of trends do you see continuing or even emerging? What is your performance outlook, Leslie, through the balance of 2024?
Well, I mean, the fixed income market is still has this show me market type mentality. And what happens when you have that kind of mindset is that the narrative has a tendency to shift given the last economic number. You know, for example, Dan, if we look at sort of things like the jobs data, which was coming lower, we saw interest rates come down because the market was okay, the economy softening, and same with some of these ISM and retail sales. But then when you have the non-farm payroll report, right, the narrative shifts, and the economy is going to be stronger, and yields kind of move up. Like, and these are in like 20 basis point fashion. So the volatility in the fixed income market, especially in rates, has been very high after we finally had moved down to a fairly low number after the market had felt some comfort that the Fed was not going to hike after the May 1st FOMC. But when we think about this going forward, I mean, one of the things that we, you know, are paying attention to is that, look, you know, this is not going to be a straight line, but overall, there's, in our view, we feel very strongly about that the economy is slowing. And when we say slowing, we mean it's going to be weaker, not weak. We're not looking for a hard landing, but we do think you might have, you know, like this non-farm payroll, some above expectations, then you might have revisions the next month. But we're looking at things that are having still a strong consumer, the one that is becoming more particular about spending. You know, when we have corporations still doing well, but, you know, some of these spreads have already tightened in, you know, quite a bit, so you might not get a lot of spread compression. But we are still expecting that the Fed cuts twice this year, and you know we are expecting that they start in September. And as I've mentioned, because the fixed income market is a show me market, they need to see it, and I think that they will. And you know we also think that growth is going to start to slow again, not to the point of a hard landing, but definitely slow from the strength that we've seen, which should push yields lower into the second half of the year. And when the Fed does cut, we also expect volatility to decline. I mean, you're going to have some nuances in regard to the election. There's no question. But our expectation is yields are going to be lower. The curve will start to normalize again, meaning start to move to that upward sloping sort of momentum. And number three, that although the spread compression in most high-quality assets is not going to be a driver of total return, your carry and price appreciation will be. So I know there's been big debates in terms of if the Fed, you know, does cut this year. We think that they will. And frankly, if by chance they don't, what this does is it puts higher for longer for a longer period of time. And we're almost going on for a year now that the Fed has been on hold come July. And what that will do, that'll price in lower growth in 2025. Okay. And so the magnitude of the move will even be greater, in our opinion, lower when it comes to yields. So lower yields, stay high in quality, like the 5-year part of the yield curve. And we just have to, unfortunately, wait and see to how this data pans out. But we do feel pretty strongly that it's going to start to slow in the second half.
Just expanding on the Fed a bit, I bring this up, John, because the Fed is set to meet this week, the 2-day FOMC meeting beginning on Tuesday. We will receive the decision as well as the press conference on Wednesday. This all comes, by the way, in the wake of an ECB rate cut. The European Central Bank cut rates last week. So investors, of course, curious as to what the path forward for monetary policy in the U.S. looks like from here. Anything to expand on there, John?
Yeah, sure. So I think on Wednesday, what you're going to look for is, there's no real expectation that they would announce a cut at this meeting. But what we think the market's going to be really watching is the new summary of economic projections and where the Fed's dot plot, where the Fed expects rates to be at the end of the year. There's the expectation that that's going to shift up, since it'll be the first update to the SEP since March. In March, the Fed still had 3 rate cuts, 75 basis points of rate cuts for this year. And the expectation is that they're going to come, a little bit more in line with the market and just be pricing themselves about 50 basis points of cuts. And as Leslie mentioned, that's CIO's projection. Our view is that you're going to see 50 basis points of cuts this year, beginning at the September meeting. And again, that's going to come on the back of, inflation is going to continue to moderate. I think we'll see some positive progress in that direction the second half of this year. And the economy is going to stay healthy, but you're going to start seeing slowing growth. And this is going to help us set the conditions and set conditions for the Fed to cut rates. Now, there's some questions, too, around the timing of this, especially with the new election coming in November. The Fed meeting, I think, would be the day after the November election, which means the blackout period for the Fed is going to be about the week before that. And so it's likely that they are going to want to avoid a rate cut in November for a variety of reasons. But again, this Fed has stated, for a while now that they are data dependent. And so if there is a compelling reason, you could see them make a rate cut if there was justification for it. But again, that's not our base case. It's just, a possibility, some things that have been being discussed in the market. So just something for investors to be aware of.
Thank you, John. So against that backdrop, Leslie, looking at the allocation table, how are you currently recommending that fixed income investors position at this time?
One of the things that we said in the weekly house view when asked about risk assets, and there's, I always say there's not a lot of risk priced in to risk assets. And, we've had lower quality sectors perform exceptionally well this year, partially because of money on the sidelines, loosening financial conditions, and the equity market doing so well. Not that we think there's going to be a catalyst in those sectors like high yield or even some of these preferreds, but you're just not getting a lot of relative value from the sectors. And if you're going to go into something to earn incremental income, and that's set, and the majority of that sector's income is being, is due to the level of treasury rates, right? Then it's time to really go high in upper quality or higher in quality sectors. And that's exactly what we have. I mean, we've been with agency MBS, we've been barbelled in investment grade corporates, the 1-3 year and 7-10 year. We like TIPS. We also like the treasury sector. We like munis. Anything in that high quality side where you have the ability to compound income and earn some price appreciation is really where we want to be because, we've had these lower quality sectors that are not highly correlated to movement in interest rates do very well this year. Those sectors that have been highly correlated to volatility have faced some headwinds. And again, because we think that you're at a turning point and that growth will slow in the second half and the Fed will cut, that uncertainty becomes more certain. And therefore, yields come down. And we think these sectors that have this correlation actually have a tendency to do better. Some broke both on price and spread. Others just on appreciation and carry. But you definitely want to be in the higher quality sectors.
Well, Leslie and John, thank you both for dropping by Top of the Morning today to keep our listeners informed on your reflections on the first half, your expectations for the second half, as well as guidance when it comes to fixed income positioning. So thank you again for your time today, and do look forward to having some follow-up conversations between now and year end.
Thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.